Okay, so hi guys, welcome to episode one of the Bottle Rocket podcast with me, Chris. We've got Jake.
Hi.
And Andy.
Sleep yo.
And this is the very first episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's like exciting.
Exciting times.
New grounds.
So for anyone who doesn't know what Bottle Rocket's all about, which is probably going to be pretty much everybody, it's just us guys. Playing games, trying to be entertaining, and just chatting crap, basically.
Yeah.
Sounds reasonable.
That sounds appealing.
The first thing I wanted to talk about on this one was the Twitch bid from YouTube, the $1 billion bid.
$1 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a website.
It is. It's a massive amount of money. But, you know, it's YouTube. It's backed by Google. They're like, taking over the world one step at a time.
Exactly. iRobot all over again.
I heard that they were actually going to deliver the money in cash, which is kind of awesome.
In a convoy, like
YouTube spouting cash.
Yeah.
Coming down the street like on a big truck.
Yeah. It could be a special level in Euro Truck Simulator 2.
trucks of cash. I love it.
You can just see like the owner of Google there sitting with a smug face. I'm like, yeah.
Like the duck from DuckTales. Diving into a swimming pool of money. That had to hurt, right? Diving into all them coins.
It looked it. I just, yeah.
He made it look so easy.
Kind of face first, and he somehow sort of went under it and came back up first.
I think it's all about the beak.
It is about the beak. It's probably more streamlined than a human, I guess.
Purpose built.
I wouldn't think about it too closely, but yes.
No, you're probably right. But yeah, what's it going to mean for live streaming? You know, is it going to be better?
Well, the community's already there on Twitch, though, isn't it? You can't really like move the community on from Twitch that's already there. Yeah. You've got like, I don't know, 200,000 people watching.
What I'm saying is, are YouTube going in there as, is it like a sort of anti-competition measure? You know, Twitch is like I'm sure at one point it was like the fourth biggest trafficked website or URL out there.
Yeah, at its peak times, it kind of beats things like Amazon and stuff. Like it's crazy. It gets so many people on it.
And I've read articles where it has been the most visited site in a day on the whole of the web.
Yeah.
So are we talking
period of time?
Anti-competition, or can they bring something to Twitch to make it better and more?
Well, because Google does that anyway, don't they? They just kind of buy stuff that might compete with them, and they tried to have their own streaming service on YouTube, but couldn't really get it that far off the ground.
I
had a brief look at that.
But who watches it? Where would you rather go to watch?
Yeah,
live like stuff.
That's the thing. So to me, it seems like they're buying Twitch because that is where you go to see live. See live recordings.
Yeah, which
that's
is
decent, yeah,
probably not a bad thing, you know. Like, I don't think, because like most Twitch streams, that the good ones kind of end up on YouTube eventually anyway. Like, as in, kind of really interesting stuff that happens on Twitch, they'll make a YouTube video of it and it'll go up. So it might be kind of be better that that's all under the same thing.
Twitch has got all this archiving though, so you wouldn't even need to go on YouTube.
Yeah,
you just put a link, like in, say in your stream, or click below for a awesome play or whatever.
Yeah.
Cut YouTube out altogether.
Yeah, so perhaps
why would you want to go and visit YouTube when it's already in Twitch?
Yeah,
like screw you, YouTube. Don't go to you.
I'm just worried about Google knowing more about my life.
Skynet is closing in.
it's like they already know quite a lot, and now they know what Twitch streams I watch as well.
Yeah, just like harvesting all this information about everybody.
Yeah,
it does give them quite a huge sense of power over everyone, really.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I found out there was something on my phone recently that sends data on where I am to Google all the time, which is just scary.
Big Brother is watching you.
Yeah, totally. I think there's one on iPhones. It's not Google. It'll be Apple. But where you can work out exactly how long you've spent in each individual places. So it works out where your home is, because it's where you spend
where
the
you
time
spend the
that's
time.
Not between 9 and 5.
That's worrying. Spend, kind
of, that's pretty scary. And the other day I was kind of looking something up in Google Maps, and it said like one of the options of where you were going to go to was home. And I was like, I've never told you where I live. how do you know where I live?
Yeah, well, for one, you know where I live, and for two, you know when I'm not there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah. Do you want to go home? It's like, huh?
Yeah, knock at the door and the Punisher will be there.
Do you want to go home, Dave? I think it's time for you to go home now.
This is not a good thing.
It isn't. Also for me, it's the monopoly.
Yeah.
That Google. Yeah. I mean, there's different ways. The legal team is all over it. I mean, obviously YouTube is a subsidiary of Google.
Yeah.
And then if it goes ahead, like the reports suggest it's going to go ahead, then Twitch will become a subsidiary of YouTube. So the taxes all split up and separate from each other anyway. So they're avoiding all the big payments and stuff that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like they're gaining this monopoly. And when they own everything, then surely they can just charge what they want for you to use it.
Yeah.
Wait, if there's nothing else to be...
Yeah, yeah. If they buy up all the competition...
But would you just go back to Justin TV, which Justin TV owns Twitch?
Well, wasn't Justin TV, didn't Twitch do so well that Justin TV just became Twitch Interactive?
I'm not sure, but it's still owned by the guys who run Justin TV. So in theory, they could just make another one, make a new one.
Yeah, but
Twatch or something.
Twatch. Twatch yeah. This.
Yeah. And they just make it exactly the same, free. The same, whatever. If YouTube does put a price on it,
I don't think Google will charge for it. I think.
No, but what I'm saying is, if they bought up all the competition, then the option would be there to say, right, well, we've got it all, so you know, you have to pay us now to use it.
Yeah, no, that's. They might just kind of like charge a single Google payment that you need for all your Google stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be kind of their thing. Like they seem to kind of collect your information and sell it to people.
It's like a Google Premium, which you
pay I don't for, like. For yeah.
A YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
Is there? No, there's not. Is there? That's the thing.
Is there like some gold club in YouTube I'm not allowed into?
Gold card.
I know. You can obviously subscribe to people's feeds and stuff to get exclusive content. Yeah. But I didn't know there was like a premium membership.
Well, there isn't, is there?
All right.
But there might be. If they did.
that's what they could bring in. Like,
ah, right. I see.
Your part standard, you can just dip around on. That if you want this and this epic shiny button of things, just pay us $5.99 a month.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I've never quite worked out how Google makes money anyway. But
it's got to be advertising,
surely.
What? Sorry.
Advertising.
Yeah, yeah. But and selling your details onto people that can advertise to you.
Yeah, so, yeah. Pretty much. It's like if you notice more often than not the adverts that you see. On your
related to you
on your yeah. They're in some way related to searches that you've done before. They might not nail it all the time, but more often than not they're sort of pinpointed at you.
Yeah, no, you're right, and it's based on like what you search for.
It's on my newsfeed now.
Nice. <Yeah. laughs>
and you know, companies will pay for that information so they can target their ad campaigns better and get more clicks per pound.
Yeah.
Or per dollar, sorry.
So whatever you watch loads of streams of, I don't know, Hearthstone or whatever, then you'll get kind of like loads and loads of Hearthstone add-on packs and stuff.
Yeah, perhaps, or games that are in
similar
genre. You know, you might watch loads of Hearthstone streams, and then a Warcraft banner will pop up on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything to do with Black Blizzard.
Yeah, well, play one to 20 for free now, and then sign up and.
Yeah, so if that's the case, then it doesn't kind of make sense for Google to charge anything for it.
No,
they'll have less people using it.
It doesn't. No, that was just literally what they could do if they monopolized the monopolized everything out there.
Yeah, I'm just scared of the power. Really.
Exactly, man.
And it's all
they could just go absolutely crazy and then.
Oh yeah.
Destroy the whole competition of streaming and just kill it or knock it on its head.
It's okay because their motto is "Don't be evil," so that means we should all feel really safe about that.
Don't be evil while we harvest your details.
While we harvest all the information that we have about you and your internet habits, you sick bastard.
Take over your life, noobs.
Look at our lovely office in San Francisco with like fireman's poles between levels. We couldn't possibly be doing anything anything evil at all. It's like that Simpsons episode with Scorpio in it. it seems like that kind of run. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being paranoid.
Well, maybe not.
But it makes me Twitch.
Hey!
That was Twitch. Absolutely beautiful.
It was a bit of a groaner, but you know.
I'll have to edit it out and post, Chris. We don't know, but people with more money than you'll ever see in your entire life are doing things that will affect you in ways you can't even possibly imagine.
Exactly.
So sleep well.
Sleep well, people. Sleep well.
Sleep well, internet.
Don't put a price on Twitch. Don't do it.
Don't charge for Twitch.
I mean, in fairness, neither Twitch or Google have commented on the story so far. It's all speculation.
It could just be some complete utter hoax.
It could well be. I mean, Variety have said that that they are close to a deal and it will be announced soon. Other sources have said that an offer has been made. And then, you know, it's speculation.
Yeah. A bit of a boring hoax, I think. It's like, ooh, what if we're going to convince people there's going to be a corporate takeover?
They say April Fools.
This will show them.
Hi, guys,
look
July
so clever.
Fools.
Brilliant. So yeah. What else has happened recently? Star Wars 7 started shooting last week.
Nice.
Yeah, I might have just cried a bit.
Just cried a bit. With excitement or fear?
Of everything.
Of everything to do with everything.
Every single emotion you could ever think of in one.
It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is.
I mean, whole thing makes me feel that... I don't know.
Is it going to be epic, though?
I hope it will. I really hope it will.
Well, the thing is, I think I watched Revenge of the Sith again the other day.
Oh, right.
And
how was it?
It was awful.
Yeah, it is.
I'm such a huge Star Wars fan. Mm. It hurts to say how bad that film is.
It's not good, is it?
It makes you want to like kill a whole unicorn population. It's that bad.
It is that bad.
It's especially bad when you think how long they had to develop it and to build up his character and to make it kind of seem... You know, like the fall to the dark side was supposed to be a thing that we were building up to all along, but it all kind of happens in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, every element down from the constant green screen. I mean, I'm sure 95% of that movie was shot on green screen.
At least. Lucas has gone on tape, on interview, and saying things like that. Like, it's like, why bother with sets anymore? And that's one of the nice things about Star Wars 7 is they have actually, well, they've
why
given...
Why bother with sets? Because it's awesome!
They've given passing reference that they're going to make more physical sets.
Well, yeah. I mean, for a start, I mean, one of the first things JJ said was that he was going to shoot in 35mm rather than digital.
Yeah.
And I mean, that straight off to me says he's going in with the right vision for how it should look and how it should feel on film. Because I don't know about you guys, but this digital, you know, 4K HD stuff, it does my head in.
4K.
I haven't seen like any of the kind of sort of hyper HD stuff.
You've had the stuff to run it on in the first place.
Yeah.
So
I can watch a tiny corner of it on my laptop and just have to.
Well, I went to see The Hobbit in the new high frame rate.
Super IMAX.
You know, it was like 4K HD HFR, whatever. And it just takes It looks like it's done on set. Obviously, it is done on set, but you can see that it is. And I think the problem that they've got is the technology, the makeup, the costume, the set building isn't good enough for that level of high definition.
Yeah, it must have really upset the entire makeup department when they said, like, ah, guys, we can see absolutely everything you're doing.
Pretty much.
4,000 pixels.
It was the same as newscasters when when HDTV came in.
Yes.
They had to redo the way they did makeup on the newsreaders.
That was a shock for Eamon Holmes.
That's like a on your forehead.
That's what he really looks like.
God, he's a monster.
but going back to Star Wars, I've got high hopes, and I think J.J. Abrams is the right man to take it on. I mean, if you look at the way he brought Star Trek, if you look at the way he brought that across,
yeah,
it was very in keeping with the traditions of the films. He took a lot from what the films were and looked like and felt like, and made a new film with elements of that, but it was also fresh.
And then he made Star Trek 2. And that wasn't so good.
it was
still a good film. But the thing I really liked about the first new Star Trek was, like you say, that he took all the kind of stuff that worked from the old series and he gave it a modern twist, as much as it makes me want to vomit to say that. But he probably brought it and gave it to a modern audience as kind of a nice blockbuster, and it was good and big and fun and loud and a bit clever, and there was Leonard Nimoy there, which is all that needed to be there to appease the old fans. It's like, look, it's Leonard Nimoy and he's doing something interesting, and now he's gone, and that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
He was there, and that was enough, and there was enough kind of space for the new characters to kind of to do really cool things and us to kind of get involved with them. And then he did Star Trek 2, where he basically just kind of shoehorned in as many references to as many things as he possibly could. And he did that annoying thing that he does. He's got this, there's a TED talk about it, where I've called the mystery box, where there's always like something mysterious that he never reveals about any of his films until they're actually released. And the mystery box thing for Star Trek 2 was, who is Benedict Cumberbatch playing? And everyone was like, it's Khan, right? He's like, well, it might be, but who is Benedict Cumberbatch playing? And then you kind of build up to it and you think about alternative people Benedict Cumberbatch could be playing. And then you go and see the film and you go, oh, he's playing Khan. Oh, that's a bit disappointing. And I think he's going to do the same thing with Star Wars 7. I think he's gonna have something mysterious that we're not going to know what it is. And it's going to be like, oh, Luke Skywalker's back, is he? No, it's something mysterious. Not going to know what it is. And something along those lines. So there are flaws the way that he brings back new things. And he appeased the fan base of the old series a lot. In Star Trek 2, and I'm worried he's going to do it.
But they really hit back hard after that, didn't they? I mean, the Star Wars fans, the Star Trek fans. Sorry, yeah. that's blasphemy there.
God
damn it! Strike me down.
Stone him.
but the fans hit back and said it was the worst Star Trek movie that there was.
Yeah.
And these, I mean, this is the same group of people that have also seen Search for Spock. So that's a bold statement to say that Into Darkness was the worst Star Trek movie ever.
Aye.
I've got big faith in him.
Yeah, I think if he does a Star Trek 1 again, then that could be cool. Like, as in new characters, but still kind of retaining what made the old one great. And
The cast list has already got Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, Anthony Daniels, Kenny Baker, Peter Mayhew. Yeah. So it's not really going to be getting away. I mean, I think the first draft of the script focused on the kids, of Hannibal and Leia. But I think a redraft has brought it. I could be completely off base on this.
No, you're right on this one. I think what I heard is the first draft was written. Mainly by the guy that wrote the script for Toy Story 3. This is what I heard. Toy Story 3 is a great kids film.
Yeah.
And just a great film. And so his draft was, it's going to be new characters, and like Mark Hamill might show up for a bit and do something interesting, and Harrison Ford will sort of wave at the camera and do something cool and go away. But it's going to be mainly about them. Whereas J.J. Abrams redrafted a lot of it with a lot of new people and said, actually, we want a lot more Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and the old gang doing cool things. You then hand over to the new guys in the next film.
Right, I see.
But this is all rumor.
Well, those guys are going to have to get on a treadmill.
Yes, damn right. But the thing is, this is all rumor. Sorry?
How many years was it last since they were in the Star Wars film?
God. Well, when did it come out? 70s?
Like, yeah, so 80s? Well, I think in the actual story, it's supposed to this movie is supposed to take place 30 years after Jedi, or 35 years, maybe 35 years.
Yeah.
So it sort of fits in.
We might have to extend that to like 50.
Yeah. But it sort of fits in with the way these guys have naturally aged, I think.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest worry for me is the way they got Harrison Ford on board.
Yeah.
Now I heard that he wasn't that interested in doing the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Until they, I think his deal was that he gets to do another Indiana Jones movie.
Oh. Oh, that's bad.
Now that's what I heard. Now,
who's directing that?
It's going to take somebody good to make up for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. Oh, that's a real shame.
I mean the saving grace there is that Shia LaBeouf has actually retired from acting now.
Has he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's retired from acting.
Did he have a horrible facial injury?
No, but apparently he's retired from acting, so he won't be a part of it. But but yeah.
What's he doing with his time?
Probably just sitting on a big pool of cash.
Yeah. Well, swimming in a pool of cash.
Handsome, rich bastard.
Building a pyramid of cash. Wow.
To be honest, and I don't think Shia LaBeouf was the worst thing about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, no. There's so much worse.
I would even argue he did all right with what he had to do.
Well, I think the original thing with that was he was supposed to sort of take on he was supposed to take on the franchise, wasn't he? He was going to be the next sort of...
Oh, I see. Like he was going to be
Dude Raider.
Yeah, yeah. Dude. But there are some really cool scenes, and he probably plays a decent character in that.
Apart from the swinging through the forest on the vines.
Yeah, but that's not his fault. He was asked to do that by George and Spielberg. That wasn't what he wanted to do. And you could kind of see it in his face, this problem, that he didn't want to be fighting monkeys on green screen. but like the scenes with him and Harrison Ford in diners and the kind of motorbike chase and things like that, they were really cool. You know, the stuff that was done on physical sets that involved actual acting?
Yeah, until Lucas rolled in with his green
actual
screen.
Actual acting.
Yeah. It's like, no, you're going to have a sword fight.
On this cube with this green thing and swing.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Ewan McGregor on Top Gear?
Yes.
He was talking about shooting that final scene from Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
And he was saying how he was they'd sat him in a green room on a green box,
green boxes,
with some doll in his hand, and he was supposed to mimic the walking motion of this camel.
A camel?
Or whatever, you know, it was a camel-esque, and it was some sort of horse thing that he was riding.
The rocking motion of movement, wasn't it?
And yeah, and,
oh, right. Okay.
And he was supposed to look up at this green screen, which was supposed to represent the twin moons of Tatooine going down,
right?
And you know, look all sort of forlorn. And he was like, he just couldn't get into the scene.
I can't.
It was just a green thing.
I can't imagine why.
But
how much are we paying you, Ewan McGregor?
I think if you watch that film, that shines through in a lot of the scenes, how they're just not invested in what they're saying. That, and you couple that with a dire script.
Yeah.
You're paying actors to act, not to fake act.
Exactly.
With a green screen.
I think it was just a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. Like, if you compare that to, like, Empire Strikes Back and the, you know, the duel in the chamber on Cloud City that was all built, like, all physically existed and kind of lit and moody and kind of full of smoke and all sorts. As an actor on that, you'd feel badass.
Well, the thing is, you don't have to act on there.
No, it's like, I feel terrified and awesome.
Yeah.
Having a fight in this amazing room that someone built out of,
you know,
bits of car, apparently.
And there's a 7.3 feet tall man in a black suit coming at me with a red stick.
Yeah. You know? they'll add in the glowy thing later, but who cares? He's trying to hit me with a stick.
You don't have to act there because you just play off your environment.
Exactly.
And, that, yeah, and that's what you lose, and that's how you lose the feeling. That's how the prequel trilogy lost the feeling.
Yeah. Now I'm being mean to J.J. Abrams, but I think it's only because I really, really, really want this film to be good, and I think he's got a mixed CV, in my opinion, of doing really, really good films that I really, really like, and some stuff that's a bit sort of up its own arse. And I just kind of really hope it's the former and not the latter. And I wish he'd bloody tell stuff about it instead of kind of sticking to this, ooh, it's all mysterious thing. So we can stop spitballing about what it might be and talk about probably what it will be.
I think Benedict Cumberbatch went on record as calling him a dickhead for that minute. I think it was those actual words.
Yes. He was a dickhead. Why didn't he just say that I was gone?
Just on the topic of Star Wars, I've had a sort of on and off argument with Rob for quite a while. Rob's another member of the team, of whether or not Lucas planned this 9-part space saga from the beginning, or whether after the success of the first movie, it was a money spinner that just kept on rolling.
First movie was called Episode 4, right?
No, so, the first movie was originally called Tales of the Star Killer.
Right.
Episode Tales 1 was
of cheesy.
Interest.
It's like Twilight.
Have I got that right? Adventures of the Star Killer, Episode 1, The Star Wars.
More by Twilight.
Nice.
Right, and my point for the whole thing was that Star Wars movie had a start point and an end point.
Mm-hmm.
Then a year later, they re-released it and said they were going to do some more.
Really?
And,
I did not know this.
Now, before they start, while they were shooting Empire Strikes Back, that's when they decided that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father.
Mm-hmm.
So that hadn't been planned.
They just kind of made that up on top of their head.
So it was like, oh, you know, this will be cool in the story. We can use this.
Yeah.
And then obviously that's when Luke finds out that Vader's his dad, because the writing team have just come up with it.
Yeah.
And then you get to Jedi, and then you've got another full stop on the story.
Mm-hmm. Did they make up that Leia was Luke's sister?
Yeah, that's brought in, or is that at the end of? That's at the end of Jedi.
Yeah, of
Empire Strikes Back. Sorry, when Luke flies off and Yoda says to Ben,
"There is
another."
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
boy was our last hope.
It was like
Frank Oz and the other guy.
Him.
McGinnis.
McGinnis? What, Obi-Wan?
Yes. It was like they were in the room.
Yeah.
The guy, you know, he got an absolutely awesome deal for signing on for Star Wars. Alec Guinness.
Yeah,
He didn't like it. He thought it was all a load of fantasy rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
But he got a deal that earned him 5% of any box office takings that the films made that he was in made.
Nice. Oh.
So he ended up netting like $95 million.
And he still thinks they're a load of rubbish, but that's fine.
But high paying rubbish.
Yes, God, it pays the bills.
Like, God, I've just earned another $2 million on this garbage. God,
yeah, damn. Exactly.
But yeah,
it's like, when are you going to release another edition, George?
Yeah, my bank account's drying
more
up.
More dribble coming out. I'm writing in who?
Surely there's another format of versatile disc that you can put this out on.
Another extended.
I've released my green screen
in
4K.
Yes, exactly.
Let me see the green screen behind.
Star Wars 4K edition. Now with Jabba the Hutt's dance video.
Yes. So it looks like we have to wrap it up there. We're coming up to
time.
All right,
man.
So thanks for listening in. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/bottlerocket. That's R-O-K-K-I-T. You can look us up on YouTube at youtube.com/bottlerocketUK. Again, that's R-O-K-K-I-T, not the standard rocket. Or search for us on Facebook. Or anytime you type Bottle Rocket with KKIT into Google, you're going
to
find us.
How do you search for us on Facebook, Chris? What do you have to type into the bar?
Bottle Rocket.
How do you spell that?
You spell that R-O-K-K-I-T.
Nice.
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 So I've been Chris. Jake's been Jake.
Yeah.
And Andy's been Bear.
Yeah, boy.
Thanks for listening.
Noob.